Here's a question for you. Are you cheating your clients when it comes to mobile? More precisely, are you allowing your desire for mobile work to get in the way of providing your clients with the best solution for their business needs? It's an uncomfortable question, isn't it? And something that we at Headscape have been asking ourselves recently when we were redesigning our agency website. And it's something I want to kind of discuss with the broader web community. In other words, with you. We are not for a minute suggesting that anyone is out to intentionally take advantage of the current excitement about mobile or to con our clients in any way. However, we are beginning to wonder whether our clients' excitement and our own desire are hindering our ability to make rational business decisions, decisions that would lead to the best solution for our clients. By now, we all know that mobile is going to be the next big thing. Not only do we realise it, but our clients know it too. And the growth in smartphone usage and the availability of fast mobile internet connections are driving an explosion in the mobile web access. Organisations of all shapes and sizes are starting to take mobile seriously or else suffer in the near future. For us, mobile is new and exciting and spells the future of our industry and our careers. Unsurprisingly, we all want to be a part of that. It's actually a scenario that reminds me of what print designers went through a few years ago. When the internet first arrived, everybody was desperate to get their first website, and the print design world skilled up and got building. Many websites were built in those early days that were never really visited by actual users. For many, the excitement got ahead of the demand. Let me be clear, there's nothing wrong with us as a community wanting to move into new areas. Nevertheless, we need to ensure that we don't push solutions onto our clients that they don't really need yet, simply in order to boost our portfolio. Timing is everything, and for a business that's trying to turn a profit and generate return on investment, that is particularly true. While investing in the future is of course important to clients, if they do it too early, they run the risk of building something that comes out of date just as the interest in mobile hits fever pitch. It's our job to help our clients with those timing issues. Now, wait a second. I know what you're thinking. If we build mobile websites first, surely they won't go out of date. Well, I have to say I'm not convinced. Certainly, best practice in responsive design are not the same as they were a year ago. We are learning more all the time and best practice continues to evolve. Can you honestly claim that the code and designs you came up with a year ago are as good as the code you are writing today? Responsive design patterns emerge and change, CSS and JavaScript techniques evolve, and some solutions just don't stick around for a long time. It's difficult because so many clients are just so excited about mobile. They want to build a mobile app or a website because they love playing with their shiny new devices. They know that mobile is the future, and so convincing them that now is the right time to invest is easy. But it might not be right for the circumstances. Mobile might not yet be worth spending their budget on. Timing is everything when considering ROI. Among shiny things, native apps are the shiniest of all. Whatever arguments you may have against building native apps, if you put your bias aside, and yes, we all have bias, it's difficult to argue, at least to our clients, that native is not cool, slick and shiny. In my experience, when most clients think mobile, they think apps. You don't see TV advertisements promoting mobile websites, but a lot of ads promote app stores and native applications. Clients might not know the difference between native and hybrid, and our responsibility is to explain the difference to them, but when they think apps, they think cool, shiny and in the app store. They want a native app. However, such apps are expensive. You need developers with a specialized skill set. It might sound obvious, but building apps is very different from building websites. Apps are software. Software projects need more rigorous planning, a longer testing cycle, and they take longer to complete. And then you have to consider multiple platforms. If you're going down the native app route, then each time you roll out a new app for a new platform, you have to do your work all over again. Usually, little of it can be reused. Also, operating systems are updating a couple of times a year sometimes, and then of course there is the endless stream of new devices that need to be designed for or tweaked for. These changes usually require apps to be updated as well. And of course, dealing with Apple at least, there is no guarantee that your app will get approved and added to the store for customers to download. Now, we can reduce the cost involved by using a hybrid solution and HTML5. The hybrid and native approach each have their pros and cons and its own place, but the bottom line is that app development is an expensive business. Not that the web is necessarily the magic bullet to this either. There may well come a time when we need to build bespoke versions of websites for mobile devices, as users replace laptops with tablets and many others access the web solely through their phones. Such a move will be worthwhile and could be justified as an investment. In the meantime, for everyone else, responsive design seems to be a good solution. Because it applies new style sheets to the client's existing HTML implementation, it doesn't need to be that expensive. At least that's the theory. In reality, things are more complicated. We all claim that responsive design is a cheap solution, but that depends on how far you take it. At the most basic level, responsive design just requires some changes to the CSS. However, we all know in practice that's not always the case. Making an existing website responsive can be incredibly time consuming, especially if you have to deal with legacy HTML that can't be changed. Responsive design is not as simple as linearizing the content. Many elements need special attention. The most obvious is navigation, which often scales poorly across devices. However, it's not the only element. There's also maps, videos, slideshows, graphics, tables. All of these things need special attention. There are also third-party widgets that we have embedded in our websites that aren't always configured to be responsive. Then there's the biggest challenge of all, images. Many web designers are rightly suggesting that delivering desktop-size images to mobile devices is unadvisable due to bandwidth limitations. However, optimizing images for different platforms and creating a mechanism to deliver these further increases the cost of responsive design. At some point, you have to consider client-side or server-side optimization to address this and other issues, such as reducing the load of elements that won't be displayed on mobile devices. There is even talk now about optimizing typography so it can be scaled to different devices. Again, the idea has a lot of merit, but there's a price tag that comes to it. The problem is that as web designers, we want to be seen by our peers to be producing websites that use the absolute latest best practice. God forbid we're seen coding with last year's techniques. Of course, our desires are not what matters. What matters is we provide our client with the solution that makes sense for them. This often entails providing a solution that we consider to be inferior. Not every client needs a Rolls-Royce. Some are happy with a Skoda. The question is, how do you know what the best fit for the client is? As I've already suggested, ROI should be the primary criteria in determining the right approach. If a client has a large audience who's willing to pay good money for an app, then go to town and build a Rolls-Royce. But if the project is more speculative, then starting simple would be best. But money is not the only deciding factor. The choice between, say, a native app and a responsive website, for example, isn't a budgetary one. After all, a responsive website could cost as much as some native apps. In some cases, the decision will come down to what the app will do. If the client's primary requirement is to deliver content to the user, then a responsive website is probably more appropriate. In my experience, the kind of native app that users download and continue to use are task-orientated. If your client wants to enable users to complete certain tasks quickly, then a native app may well be the way to go. Otherwise, use the web. The only exception is when the client needs to access features on the mobile device that are inaccessible in the browser. Typical examples of this should be is things like the camera or the accelerometer. If you conclude that a web-based solution is the right approach, then it becomes an issue of budget and timing. If the client is happy with their existing website and doesn't wish to change it, then you could consider building a mobile website that targets particular devices. This might not be your preferred approach, but it could be the most cost-effective solution until the client undertakes a redesign. If the client's budget is tight, then you might also want to choose to use media queries to target a range of screen resolutions rather than going fully responsive. This will make development slightly easier, thus keeping your cost down. Similarly, there's nothing wrong with leaving image optimization to the carrier rather than optimizing the images on the server. Yes, it's not the perfect solution, but it might be the right solution for your client. The message here is simple. Whether talking about native apps, responsive websites, or anything in between, we need to put aside our personal desires and even the desires of our clients, focusing instead on what the client really needs, a mobile solution that generates the best return on investment for their business.